Brian.
You too.
Ah, you're very welcome, Brian. Okay, you've had a beautiful day for a parade, and it's a very special one, indeed, at Peekskill.
I'm in Peekskill as we speak, at the breakfast honoring Siobhan and Dan Dennehy, and making that.
Well, yeah. And is the granddaughter Haley in tow?
She's with me, doing the best. She's been doing, as you know, she's been doing the rounds with me, and we're having a great time together.
And she has her own sash, too, which is...
She has her own sash.
Yeah. Now, I can tell you, after next weekend, there's going to be... when you say, okay, Haley, it's time to give up the sash, I don't want to be there for that one.
No, you don't. I'll have a grandmother do that.
Yeah. Brian, the significance, sometimes we don't really get the significance of the honor. And, of course, we've kidded back and forth about how embarrassing it is to our family that the third member, Bill O'Dwyer, 1938, your dad, 1974, and you. But just try, if you will, to give us a feel of what it is like to be selected, and what does that mean, to you and to all the aides, to those who are selected, many waiting for decades for that great honor. Can you just kind of give us a?
Adrian, I never understood it until I was here. The joy of meeting people from all across the community, and I've gone to, I don't know, maybe 30 different events so far. We'll go to many more in the future, but having the joy that they feel of having you as the Grand Marshal and coming up to you and congratulating you and the good feeling is something that I frankly never anticipated. It's absolutely marvelous. It really is. It gives me, it energizes me every single day to be that. And then to see as I make my rounds, the aides who are all come out of those organizations and have done, yeoman's work over the course of those years, to have them recognized for their work in the communities as well is really, really wonderful. I mean, for this period of time, the Grand Marshal and his aides are the face of the Irish American community.
Yeah.
And that's really something very, very special. Again, something I never, ever, ever anticipated.
And it is St. Patrick's Day. The New York St. Patrick's Day parade is obviously the highlight, the largest, the oldest parade in the entire world. But we have a month of celebration from, from the president, the governors, mayors, from town officials. There's a great sense of Irishness. Is it, and have we managed to rid, to a degree anyway, the kind of paddywhackery, those who want to make a kind of a silly parade out of it with plastic caps? And have we made advances through the years in terms of awareness, say, well, that doesn't represent us?
I think so, and I particularly give credit to my brother and sister Hibernians who really have sat down with the major people and major corporations and put off the silly stuff and have said, look, we're just not going to put up with that.
Right.
No other ethnic group has put up with it. We're not going to put up with it. And you know, it's been a long, tough fight for them, but they I think it's taking hold.
And
it's incredible. Yeah, I mean, you watch things you don't see. I went out yesterday to the Irish Americans in government, out in Nassau for their annual luncheon. I never knew of the organization. There were 450 people sitting in that room, Democrats, Republicans, everything, judges, lawyers. It was incredible. You know, and now the number of parades that have proliferated around the things,
yeah,
where each community has their own, is something that didn't occur 20 years ago. And now it's they're you know, dancing up all over, like here in Peekskill with a wonderful Irish American community, showing their Irishness in the best way, which is in a dignified and wonderful parade.
And again, by the way, your friend Richie Neal, Congressman Richie Neal, was on the program for the first in the first hour there, and you know, it's difficult, I suppose, at a time of great celebration, and celebrating our Irishness, our culture, our heritage, to just not be totally distracted from, you know, from Brexit, from the real possibility that Prime Minister Theresa May might well just cater to, you know, the votes that she needs, the DUP, the Democratic Ulster Parliament, in the North, and in doing so, in order to stay in power, maybe risk having a hard border in Northern Ireland, the return of a hard border. Are we kind of distracted to the point where, you know, we were only talking about a couple of weeks that are left. Can we get that message across?
I think one of the things I've sought to do is to make sure that message does get out. You know, the Grand Marshal of the parade is a bully puppet, and I've been using it. You know, I've written to... we've had op-ed pieces and,
yeah,
and Times, or, you know, letters to the editor of Times, and in some of the Ulster papers, and in some of the other papers, warning the British government, don't think you're getting away with this, because the next step, if you have Brexit, is now you have to have a trade agreement,
right,
with the United States. And, you know, watch out for Irish America. Because we did it, we beat you once with Gerry Adams, and we're gonna, and frankly, the shot's across the bow. We're gonna beat you again. There will be no trade agreement with the United States of America, period, end of story, unless the rights of the Irish people are respected.
Right. And, you know, as a Friends of Ireland and you know, its leader, Richie Neal, now that we have every reason to miss, you know, Congressman Joe Crowley, who nobody should feel sorry for. He's gone on to become a great, onto a great position, and I'm sure we'll have, you know, great influences as a lobbyist in Washington anyway. But you know, we kind of take that Friends of Ireland, Republican and Democrat alike. You know, we have the Peter Kings. We have a great number of Friends of Ireland in Congress, in the Senate. You have the Chuck Schumers, that we kind of take for granted and say, yeah, well, you know, they're there. And actually, that is a tough position, you know, for all of them to be in, but it is extremely important that we, you know, let them know that we actually appreciate, you know, that they're representing us, Irish America, as well.
It is. It's very true. And, you know, we've made that point. You know, the point I made, of course, is now, frankly, with the Democrats coming back and them being the urban part of things, the chairman of all these committees are friends of Ireland, whether they be Irish American,
yeah,
or like in the case of Elliot Engel, who is now head of the Foreign Relations Committee.
And who's always been a great friend and supporter.
Been always been a great friend and has a huge Irish American constituency. So, you know, I think one of the ways, you know, forearmed is, you know, forestalled is we're going to make sure that the message gets out. And thanks to people like Richie Neal, who is by far the greatest champion of Ireland and the Irish American community that we've seen in many a year. But the message has to get out, and it is getting out. The message is getting out is that don't think you get by, even if you got by with this, you pull out with Brexit, that you're going to get any sort of consideration in the United States Congress.
Yeah.
And it's them, it's not the administration, it's them that needs to make the legislation pass. And so, you know, in the midst of what is great joy and party after party and celebration after celebration, which we're entitled to,
mm-hmm.
I was just this morning, even before I came up here, there was Congresswoman Maloney had an Irish American breakfast with Joe Crowley and myself. And tomorrow we're up with the Albany legislators and Governor Cuomo. So, you know, we're out there, but we're also giving a message.
So therefore, but Brian, so therefore you'll only be able to do a stop in for the Mayo dinner tonight, right?
Adrian, you know that I value my life.
You go into the Mayo dinner dance tonight and tell them you need, you know, you have to leave early because you got to schlep all the way up to Albany tomorrow. Yeah, good. Just try it. I mean, what are they going to say? What are they? You think that they really won't understand that you've had a tough schedule and you can't hang around? I mean,
do you think they would carry me out on the table? I can tell you.
My own
people.
and if they didn't, you know, slaughter you, then you have to deal with my daughter Eileen Flannelly Mackel, who is whipping all of us into shape. I don't know what do we do. Is it just more than 100 family members and half of Ireland coming over, for the occasion, to celebrate the occasion? And there's Eileen demanding, you know, that all of us declare, our availability for the entire bloody week. I mean, come on. Yeah.
Well, you know, she has, talking about herding cats, she has done, I don't know what I would have done without her. She has really done a tremendous job on keeping this family of ours, which is incredible. As you know, we're up to 105 of just blood relations. This is incredible to think about. All over the world coming in for this. And she is making everybody heave to and be. I said to her, we're having the big family celebration on Friday.
Yeah.
And I said to her, when you call the restaurant, tell them that you want a table for one alone. Because that's where you're going to be for the entire night.
Brian, you carry a message, and a very strong message, as you've beaten the path, not on this lead up to St. Patrick, and indeed again for the balance of the month. Immigration is such an unpopular, even the mention of immigrants' rights is so distasteful across America, in the sense that it is has become, you know, the sore point of the president and of his followers with respect to that. You carry, though, a message during this period of the significance of immigration, not just now, but in over the decades and indeed, you know, in the last century and before, of the difficulties and the contribution of immigrants to this country. It does ring a bell, and it somehow maybe balances the negativity that we hear, as if all immigrants, those who are coming from across the wall or the proposed wall or from anywhere else, that we're picking and choosing at this stage of the game and being indoctrinated to say, well, the way we keep safe is to keep immigrants out. Your own story and your own delivery of a message that immigration was never that easy, was never, you know, it wasn't built on a huge cave meal of culture, not only for Irish immigrants, but from European and other immigrants.
Well, Adrian, you know, I tell, you heard it, Warren, we'll hear it, but, you know, I tell the story of my grandmother, you know, because the story of my father and Paul and Bill is well known. So that's not be repeated, although they are great stories in and of themselves. I tell the story of my grandmother who came here at 16 years old with nobody and nothing. And no support system and nothing, and literally driven out of her house by her parents, not because they hated her, because she was the difference between starvation and non-starvation in that household of herself and four siblings. And from the day she landed in this country until her 88th birthday when she died, every single month, a money order went from New York back to Galway to sustain that family. And she was the difference. And I pay tribute to her because she landed, her first job was in the biggest mansion in New York, the Twombly Mansion, on the corner of 54th and 5th Avenue. And 100 years later, her grandson is going to be passing by that mansion and thinking of her, and what she did to make her life better, her family's life better in Galway, or her family's life not better, sustainable in mm-hmm. Galway, and then in doing that, of course, founding a family that came and became part of the fabric of New York and this great country. But it's, and I think the other story of that is, let's not think that that's an Irish story. Yeah. You know, I pay a tribute to Mary Agnes Rowan, but I also pay tribute to the thousands, maybe millions of Marias and others who have come and done the exact same thing.
Brian, it's going to be a great a great week ahead, great for a lot of families, whereas I don't think there are that many families that are going to round up 105 blood relatives from around the world. The story of our Irish history, our Irish culture, our Irish connection is very much to the fore. And yes, it is. It's great, and it is of great pride, indeed, that you know, we'll be trotting up after you. Well, not me. No, I have a program to do, and I'm delighted. You know. Now, there's one little tiny bit of advice that I can give you, and that is, you will have 105 blood relatives right behind you, and if you dare, you know, walk even marginally out of line, they're gonna rush you. Okay, so that's it.
I'm terrified.
I have
a wife and a granddaughter that'll take me on. So there we go.
yeah, and you can wave to those on the side. Don't go over, no matter how tempting. Okay. Our best.
All the best, Adrian. And by the way, I understand a well-deserved honor coming your way this week. So congratulations on that as well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that'll be. We'll talk about that after St. Patrick's Day. Brian, again, congratulations, and we look
all
forward
best.
Very much. Okay. 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 Our Grand Marshal for St. Patrick's Day parade there.